Good morning. Welcome to WISN, the Retirement Clinic with Jeff Kowal, founder of the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist, your host on today's show with Jeff. I'm Paul Kronforst. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm excellent, Jeff. And you guys are busy, busy. You opened a new location in Brookfield. It's on Blue Mountain Road, Jeff. We've got events coming up. We'll talk about some of those. We've got Aaron Spitzner joining us. We've got Aaron Kowal joining us on today's show for the Boss segment. And we've got you for the full hour.
Pretty exciting, huh?
It's very exciting. No, Jeff, I want to start with the Brookfield office. You opened up on Blue Mountain, what, a couple of weeks ago?
Yes, great new space. It's a great location, 17775 West Blue Mountain Road. So just west of Calhoun on Blue Mountain Road. That's our new Galactic International headquarters in Brookfield now. So that's our new office there. It's beautiful, along with our other offices in Port Washington, in Phoenix, in Cape Coral, Florida, in Racine, and also Delafield. So a number of great locations to serve our clients. And we always act as fiduciaries at all our locations. And it's just, we're growing. So it's a lot of fun to be growing like this.
I always, in the back of my mind, think there's people that never heard the show. We've got new people tuning in. We are, after all, Jeff, as you know, Wisconsin's most listened to radio station. That means a lot of listeners are on the weekends joining us. By way of background, this show started back in 2001. Jeff, you and your staff have been doing these market updates during the Mark Belling Show twice a day, 3 and 5 o'clock news blocks, for how many years?
Well, we started in 1997, and yeah, right now we're doing 3:05 and 5 o'clock news blocks. We were doing 5 or 6 a day at the time, and that was kind of nuts. But now we're doing 2 of them, and we've been doing that for the last 15 years probably. At 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock news blocks, we give you 1 minute of what's going on in the market that particular day. What's driving stocks up or down that particular day, or bonds? What's affecting bonds? Is it government reports? Is it corporate earnings that's affecting the markets that particular day? We try to give you an idea of how does it apply. So what? How does it apply to your situation? That's in 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock news blocks. We wrap it up with the Dow, S&P 500, and NASDAQ every day, 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock news blocks in the middle of the Mark Belling late afternoon show.
Yeah, and your virtual office would be your website. There's so much on there, thekowalway.com. Please visit anytime you'd like. Phone number, and if you've got a question for the show, we also send you to the Kowal Investment Group. Just call them directly. Any question on your retirement, you want to maybe meet with an advisor. Jeff, there are many Americans that have never used a financial advisor, and they do it themselves, and maybe they just think, you know what, I can do better. Maybe I can do better.
Not only that you can do better, but a lot of times, you know, there's so much information, so much data online. You can get information everywhere, but how do you convert that to wisdom? How do you convert that to how does it apply to your situation? And that's where we come in. A lot of our clients are do-it-yourselfers that are tired of doing it themselves. And it's people that are close to or already in retirement with $750,000 or more in retirement assets.
TheKowalWay.com. But here's that phone number, 262-522-4040. 262-522-4040 for the Kowal Investment Group. I mentioned all the stuff coming up on the show today. Let's start, Jeff, with one of your events. You'd like to promote it. These events that you put on, you've been doing quite a few lately. They are free to attend. You just have to register.
Very well attended too. So you do have to pre-register. There are 2 educational events coming up in April. The first is on Friday, April 19th at a Racine office. It's an estate planning event with Aaron Spitzner and attorney James Pruitt. Spitz will be on the show later on with a segment after the break on 401ks and using them as piggy banks. So you'll get a feel for Aaron Spitzner. Great guy. And that's Friday, April 19th. Second event is Keep Family Wealth in the Family. That's Thursday, April 25th in Delafield. That's in Lake Country. I'll be moderating that I'll be joined by Chauncey Wisenfeld from our office and then trusted partners, Chris Behrens from Horicon Bank and John Koenig, an attorney with Elder Advisors Law. And this seminar workshop is designed to help you gain a better understanding of how to preserve and protect your hard-earned assets for you and your family. And those are especially if you have $1 million or more. Both of those events with Aaron Spitzner on Friday, April 19th, and then the one with Chauncey Wiesensell and me on Thursday, April 25th. Both these great educational events. Events are free, but you do need to pre-register. For more details and register, visit the events page at thekowalway.com. That's K-O-W-A-L, thekowalway.com, or give our office a call at 262-522-4040.
And again, you've got time. Today is the 23rd of March, Jeff, but these are coming up right around the corner, April 19th and April 25th. Go online, thekowalway.com. Okay, we better get going because, as we said, a busy, busy show. What did you say about Americans treating their 401k plans like piggy banks?
Oh, yeah. Spitz is going to address that one. We ran into a couple of things with clients last week or so that we've seen a lot in our office lately. One is offers for early retirement, and some of them even before age 59 and a half. And then we'll talk about rules for in-service withdrawals. So two topics in this segment. I'll try to get to both of those. I was talking with my son here in Arizona, and he said that an engineer from where he works has been let go at age 54. A lot of companies will do that. When they're looking to downsize, if you will, or offer incentives for early retirement, they'll target those that are at the peak of their income. So what do you do? So what happens if you are asked to retire early or under age 59 and a half, and you need to supplement your income? Let's talk about that. And one way to do it, this is a Ned Slaut article, actually 10 rules to know about 72T. So we've been doing these for decades. One thing listeners need to know, that this is complex. You have to follow the rules, but we do this all the time for our clients and have been doing it, like I said, for decades. But are you 59 and looking to access your IRA funds without being hit with the 10% early distribution penalty? So if you take money out of your, so the government gives you incentives to accumulate money in your 401ks and your IRAs. The idea is that you have to leave them there until you're at least 59 and a half, because you could, after 59 and a half, you could take them out without penalty. But before age 59 and a half, unless you do things right, you have to pay the 10% early penalty, and then the state of Wisconsin has a 3.33% state penalty. One thing you can do is exercise 72T. That's taking substantially equal periodic payments, 72T. With 72T payments, you could take early distributions from your IRA and avoid the penalty. Sounds too good to be true? Well, these payments are subject to many strict rules, and you should understand the restrictions before you jump in. There are 10 rules here, but I'll go through about five or six of them. One, you can decide to start taking 72T payments from your IRA at any age. Some people think you have to be 50. You have to be 55. That's not the case. We've done it as young as age 49 for our clients, where you can take money out from your IRA without penalty. The payments must continue for at least 5 years, or at least you are 59 and a half, whichever is later. This is a key, and this is what goofs up people. So let me give you an example of our client that was 49. So it says to age 59, 5 years, or age 59, whichever is longer. So in this case, if he's 49, age 59 and a half is longer. So he would have to take it out for 11 and a half, about 11 years, without changing it. So if he were 57, and it says 5 years or age 59 and a half, whichever is longer. So in this case, if he's 57, he would have to take out for 5 years, which means that he'd have to take it out till age 62. So if you don't want to get the penalties, you have to do it for 5 years or age 59 and a half, whichever is longer. Payments must be substantially equal and generally cannot be changed. So substantially equal periodic payments, what does that mean? That means if you have $1 million in your 401k, in your IRA, and you want to take income from it, let's say 4% is the number, you have to take out $40,000 each year, and you can't vary from that. So it has to be substantially equal periodic payments each year for 5 years or to 59 and a half, whichever is longer. Otherwise, the bad thing about that is that if you vary the payments at all, they can go back to the first dollar that you took out, and they would go back and charge you a penalty on that. So if you've been taking, let's talk about our 49-year-old guy. And let's say at 56, he decides to change it. We can't change it up. Otherwise, they'll go back to the first payment starting at 49 and charge him penalties. Mm. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's a heavy hit. And just in general, if we take a step back and look at this, Jeff, the 401k plan was always, I think when it was designed, right, meant to, listen, you got to have patience. It's meant for your retirement.
That's right. That's why they put these strict restrictions on them and the rules that if you want to take it out, sure, you can take it out, but you got to follow these rules or else they are going to charge you penalties. They don't want you to be a ward on the government. They don't want you to be the government to be responsible. They want you to be responsible for your retirement planning. So in order to encourage it, they say, okay, we'll give you these tax breaks, but you can't take the money out until you're 59 and a half. So, you know, these 72T payments are applicable to the IRAs or IRAs that you calculated it from. What does that mean? Let's say you have $2 million. Let's say that you're let go from your job and you are making $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And you can get another job that pays you $75,000 a year. So you need just a couple thousand dollars a year, a month, $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year. Sounds a little complex. So what you're doing is supplementing your income. You're going back to work, taking a job for less pay, but need to supplement it. Well, if you have $2 million in your IRA, you don't have to take it on that full amount. You can say, okay, of my $2 million, I'm going to take $600,000. I'll exercise 72T on $600,000. 4% of $600,000 is $24,000 a year, $2,000 a month. You have to do it for 5 years or 59 and a half, whichever is later. So you don't have to do it on the full amount of your IRA. That's a key thing. But another key thing is what I mentioned before, is if you do not stick to the 72T payments, or if you modify the payments, they will no longer qualify for the exemption of 10% penalty. So the 10% penalty will be reinstated retroactively to all the distributions you took. So that's, you have to be careful that once you get into it, you have to be committed to doing it for a long time. But there is help. If you do lose your job or if you are offered early retirement, you take a different job and you want to supplement it, there are ways that you can tap into your 401k without paying a penalty. And it's called 72T. Again, we do that all the time. I want to touch on one other thing, Paul.
Absolutely. And absolutely. I mentioned this, Jeff, because without guys like you, or how would I know this, right? How would I know about all of these rules basically for your retirement, which is one of the biggest decisions you're going to make in your lifetime, that is when to retire and if you're ready financially to retire. And that age, Jeff, wouldn't you agree, it's different for all of us?
Absolutely. And what you mentioned is absolutely true, because one thing is that this is complex and they're changing all the time. This is one rule that it's a difficult time when somebody is asked to leave early. Sometimes it can be very emotional. Many people are prepared for it. Many people are not. So we deal with this all the time. And there is help. There is hope. If you need to get money out of your retirement plans and you don't want to get hammered with taxes, there are ways that we can get around it. And again, we do this all the time. What we also see a lot is that clients will start working with us while they're still working at their jobs, and they'd like us to manage their 401ks. So even though they start working with us on other things, perhaps trust accounts, perhaps other IRAs, perhaps we're consolidating their accounts, but we can also do what's called an in-service withdrawal, moving money from your 401k or 403b plan to an IRA with us while you're still working. Why would somebody want to do that? Okay, they've got $1 million in a 401k or $450,000 in their 401k. They have $750,000 with us. Why would they want us to manage that money too? First of all, you have more investment options. If you move the money out of your 401k into an IRA with us, using an in-service withdrawal, you have more investment options. you also would have greater flexibility in whether you want to convert that to a Roth or do other things with it. Plus, you get our expertise with our total planning. So it's called an in-service withdrawal. So let's talk briefly about some of the rules. Congress determined that the 401k, kind of what you were saying, Paul, is that with certain exceptions, they should be saved for retirement. 401k should be. But for that reason, it imposed strict restrictions on the ability of employees to withdraw those plans while they're still working. So here are some restrictions. One is that each 401k has its own restriction rules. Government sets certain restrictions. Companies can be more restrictive, but they can't be less so. Generally, 401k plans can allow in-service distributions from pre-tax and Roth employee contributions, contributive amounts before age 59 and a half. Most plans will say that you can do an in-service withdrawal after 59 and a half. But like I said, each plan is different, and you have to see what the plan allows for an in-service withdrawal. Plans that offer non-Roth after-tax contributions can also allow those contributions and their earnings to be withdrawn any time, even before age 59 and a half. So a lot of times we'll roll those after-tax contributions right into a Roth IRA. Clients love that. You can do the after-tax contributions, roll into a Roth IRA, grows tax-free forever. It's great. Employer contributions. Most plans allow in-service withdrawals from their employer contributions. That's a company match. Following the same rules that apply to pre-tax and Roth contribution, so you can take the money out. So again, this is if you start working with us, you've got money in 401k plans, you say, can you do that? Can you bring that money over? Yes, we can, and it's called in-service withdrawal. A couple more things here. Most plans allow in-service withdrawals from employer contributions, and some 401k plans allow employees to roll over pre-tax retirement, including their IRAs, into the plan. So pre-tax, post-tax, Roth, taxation is the same. You're not going to get taxed over in the transfer. So if you move it from your 401k plans to an IRA, there is absolutely no tax in that. We do a trustee-to-trustee transfer, so there's no taxes in that. No taxes if you've already paid taxes on it in a Roth 401k. You want to move that to a Roth IRA. No tax consequences with that. The tax consequences come in when you take the money out and want to start using the money.
And in general, Jeff, the distinction between a Roth and a typical 401k plan is when you pay the taxes, right?
Exactly, Paul. Whether it's a Roth, traditional Roth, I'm sorry, whether it's a 401k plan or a Roth 401k or an IRA or a Roth IRA, the difference is exactly what you said, Paul. It's when you pay the taxes. If you're contributing to your Roth 401k, you're paying the taxes as you go along. If you're contributing to a Roth IRA, you're paying the taxes as you go along. If you do a traditional 401k or a traditional IRA, you're deferring those taxes to some time in the future. You bring up a great point too, Paul, because this year and next year are the 2 years that we know that we're going to have President Trump's tax cuts in place. They expire the end of next year. So we don't know who the president is going to be next year. Depending on which way the elections go, that'll tell you most likely whether those tax cuts will be renewed or not. But at least you know this year and next year for sure, you're going to have the ability to pay taxes at a lower tax rate. Good time to get into those Roth plans.
Jeff, I'm no political expert. Just the common sense of me would say if Trump is president, wouldn't he most likely give us those tax cuts back?
Well, since he initiated them, and they are the Trump tax cuts, most likely he'd want to renew those and possibly expand those. And it's funny, it's called the Laffer Curve. Art Laffer was a guy in the Reagan administration. He's still around, very prominent guy. But an actual, what do you call it, a curve is named after him because it says that you can actually tell that revenue to the government increases the low when you reduce taxes. And you can say, because they say, you know, you can't cut taxes because there's going to be, you can't cut taxes for the rich. It turns out that the rich end up paying more because if you cut taxes on them, they're more willing to make changes in their accounts, take revenue, take income. If they can pay it at a lower tax bracket, they're not going to use tax shelters, not going to use tax deferral as much if they can get it at a lower tax bracket. So actually, the Laffer curve says that as you reduce taxes, revenue to the government goes up. So actually, if they let those tax cuts expire next year, let's say the Democrats get in and they're not likely to renew those taxes, tax cuts.
No.
Chances are revenue to the government will be down, not up. Because if you increase the taxes, revenue to the government will go down.
Our listeners may have heard of the Laffer curve. I think on this show, just in general, you've heard it's spelled L-A-F-F-E-R. Look it up, Google it. We don't have time to get into it, but Jeff, you explained it perfectly. In the world of economy, I guess the experts would say, and most people agree with this Laffer curve, don't they, Jeff?
Well, it depends what side of the aisle you're on. It's proven that that's what happens, but you know, whether you believe it or not, or want to believe it or not, is up to you.
Yeah, the relationship between rates of taxation and the resulting levels of government's tax revenue, the curve assumes that no tax revenue is raised at the extreme tax rates of 0 and 100%. It explains it well. I mean, it's something that we've alluded to, and it's just, if you give people tax breaks and they have more money in their pocket, Jeff, they're going to either spend that money, they're going to buy a car, they're going to buy a better house. It's Reaganomics, right? The trickle-down effects of...
That's a great point, because it's not just the income taxes. It's once you have more money in your pocket, you're spending more money, you're paying sales taxes, you're paying more taxes all over, because that money is circulating in the economy.
Yep.
And that helps everybody.
And the same goes for a business. Same thing with a business. You're going to employ more people, and it just kind of makes sense. So I don't know how you could disagree with that, but you're right. The November election, we've got a long time. It's going to be quite the summer. We have the Republican convention in Milwaukee. It's going to be a busy, busy summer. Jeff, I know we got to take a break. Give us a little preview. What's coming up? We're going to hear from Aaron Kowal in the Boss segment for business owners. And then we're going to be joined by Aaron Spitzner, Jeff.
Yeah, Spitz is going to talk about the Americans are treating their 401ks like an ATM machine, and that's not good. With some difficulties in employment, although we do have full employment, some people are taking two jobs just to make ends meet, and you know their credit card balances are going up. So, do you take money from your 401k to pay off those credit card balances? Aaron Spitzer is going to talk about that. Aaron Kowal is going to have a great boss minute. And then if we have a couple minutes, we'll talk. You always like mistakes. We have some common mistakes and corrective actions that people take with their IRAs.
I only like the mistakes if I don't make them, right? You can learn from, right. Learning from the others, those mistakes. So a lot's coming up after the break. It's Aaron Kowal, then Aaron Spitzner, and then Jeff and I are back for the rest of the Retirement Clinic. It's all ahead of us as we continue on News Talk 1130 WISN, thekowalway.com, or call with any question about you and your retirement, 262-522-4040. A lot of events coming up will remind you. They are complimentary. You must reserve your spot. And, of course, that new location is now open. It's on Blue Mound Road in Brookfield. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Retirement Clinic on WISN. I'm Aaron Kowal with the Boss Minute, Business Owner Savings and Security. It's about owning your retirement, not just your business.
It's tax season again, which means small business owners are looking for ways to maximize their tax deductions and keep more of their hard-earned money. With so many different deductions out there, it can be tough to know where to start. So here are 10 deductions that every small business owner should know about. 1, home office deduction. 2, business use of your car. 3, employee wages and benefits. 4, travel expenses. 5, office supplies and equipment. 6, advertising and marketing. 7, professional fees. 8, rent or lease payments. 9, depreciation. And 10, insurance. This list is just meant to get you started, as there are many deductions available to business owners. To understand the ins and outs of each of the deductions I named, and if you qualify for them, you'll need to work with industry professionals. Working with the right professionals could reduce your tax liability and save you a lot of money come tax time. If you need help with tax planning for your business, give our office a call today at 262-522-4040 or visit us at thekowalway.com.
That's Aaron Kowal with today's Boss segment, Business Owners and Their Savings and Security. As we continue the Retirement Clinic, Saturday mornings we're on at 10 a.m. with Jeff Kowal hosting the show today, and we've got a lot coming up. But we promised a special segment about Americans seem to be treating their 401k plans like an ATM machine. We're joined by Aaron Spitzner of the Kowal Investment Group.
Hey, good morning, Jeff and Paul. Thanks for having me on the show this morning. Hey, just a quick subject I wanted to cover, and that's in regards to more Americans treating credit card, or excuse me, treating their 401ks like cash machines or credit cards, I guess you could say. The 401k is doing double duty as both a retirement account and a source of emergency funds for Americans lately. This is an article from the Wall Street Journal from March 11th, 2024. A record share of 401k account holders took early withdrawals from their accounts last year for financial emergencies. That's according to Vanguard Group. Overall, 3.6% of its plan participants did so last year, and that's up from 2.8% in 2022 and the average of about 2% prior to the pandemic. So we're getting near double that. We're trending in the wrong direction. More people are taking money out of their 401ks to make ends meet. Retirement plans such as the 401k are designed to keep Americans' nest eggs out of reach until later in life. However, like I mentioned, that's not the case recently. But Americans are dealing with conflicting financial forces. So hiring has been pretty strong lately. Workers' earnings keep rising. Not exactly at the pace of inflation, but they have historically gone up here the last year or so. The cost of groceries are higher, and child care and car insurance keeps climbing. I think those renewals are coming through on home and auto policies at somewhere 30 to 40% higher. So people are also carrying heftier balances on their credit cards, and I think that's even at a rate of 20 to 25%. So emergency distributions because of this had back-to-back record highs in 2022 and 2023. That's according to Vanguard, and Vanguard administers 401k type accounts for nearly 5 million people. So it gives us a good idea of how that average American is doing with their financials. So the IRS, or the Internal Revenue Service, allows for withdrawals for hardship-related reasons, including preventing evictions and paying medical and tuition bills. However, people who take them from traditional accounts must pay income tax, plus often a 10% federal penalty if they're younger than 59 and a half years old, and also a 3.33% state penalty. So it all adds up when you're looking at tax and penalty. A good amount of that early distribution or hardship withdrawal is really going to the government. Nearly 40% of those who took a hardship distribution last year did so to avoid foreclosure, compared with 36% in 2022. And in 2023, more than 75% of hardship distributions totaled $5,000 or less. So not a significant amount. But again, it's not about the amount. It's about the fact that the people have had to tap into the 401k to make those ends meet. Like we discussed here, interest rates have risen. More investors are now turning to the 401k loans to avoid higher cost debt. You hear about that with their home equity line of credit rate may have skyrocketed, or that credit card is now at 20 to 25%. However, law does allow participants to borrow generally up to half of their balance, or $50,000, whichever is less, from the 401k as well. There you're not paying that sort of penalty. So that may be a better option for those rather than paying all those penalties. Now, the positive news, or on the plus side here, is that workers contributed an average of 11.3% of pay, including their employer match in 2022. That is the latest year in which data was available, and that's up from 10.4% in 2016. So people are putting more away. However, more people are also tapping into their 401k as well. So I just thought this was an interesting article as it sheds some light on the state of the U.S. consumer. So that's all for now, guys. Thanks for having me on the show, and have a great weekend.
You just heard from Aaron Spitzner here in the Retirement Clinic with the Kowal Investment Group. The founder is Jeff Kowal, and he's hosting the show today. That was good stuff. We got Aaron Kowal's boss segment, and Jeff, you work with business owners. And then we heard about Americans treating their 401k plans like an ATM machine, which is not good. That's just not a good thing. And now you've got a lot to talk about in this segment still to come. Some events coming up at the Kowal Investment Group and our weekly segment called the Wealth Management and Preservation segment, Jeff.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to turn away from accidents. When you're driving by and you see an accident, it's hard to turn away from that. Well, you like to see those, hear about those mistakes, especially when they're not your own mistakes, right?
Yes.
So here are a couple of common mistakes and some corrective actions. Andy Ives is a friend of mine. He's at Slots Organization. And he said, year after year, many of the same IRA errors happen again and again. And based on the volume of the times that these mistakes occur, it seems appropriate to create a short list of repeat offenders and offer some advice. So one is rolled over a required minimum distribution. Oops, RMDs cannot be rolled over. RMD is your required minimum distribution. Say, well, okay, I'll just take that out and put it over and put it into another IRA. No. If an RMD is rolled over, it's considered an excess contribution, and the excess contribution rules must be followed, so you have to take those out along with earnings. So you have to be very careful with that. You cannot roll over a required minimum distribution. Government wants their money. You have to take that money out and pay taxes on it. Two, contributed to a Roth IRA for a child with no earned income. This is something that people did probably 15 years ago, where they would start Roth IRAs for kids 2 years old. And then the government said, wait a second, what's their source of income? You have to have income. So contributing to a Roth IRA for a child with no earned income, your child must have earned income to be eligible for a traditional or a Roth IRA. If a contribution to an IRA is made with no earned income, it's an excess contribution. The same excess contribution correction has to be followed. You have to take the money out. Three is that you took two IRA distributions with the intent to roll them over. Okay, you can only do one per year. There's a one rollover per year rule. It says, you take the money out, say, I'm going to put the money back within 60 days. Okay, you can do that. But you can only do that once within a 12-month period of time. Combining them into a single deposit won't work if there's a fix. If you still have a 60-day period, you can roll it over and you can take one of them and roll one of them back in. You can't roll the other one in. So you can't do two IRA rollovers in the same tax year. If you take a rollover, if you take more than one, the second one, you have to take out and pay taxes on it. You can't roll it back into the plan. And I'm just going to do one more here, Paul. Taxes withheld on Roth conversion when under 59 and a half. We just had a discussion with a client of ours this week. This is kind of a sneaky mistake where people think, okay, I'm going to do a Roth conversion. I'm going to do a $20,000 Roth conversion. I'm going to withhold for federal and state taxes. No, don't do that. Because if you withhold for, so let's say you're doing a $20,000 Roth conversion, you pay the federal and state taxes on it, and you roll $15,000 into the Roth IRA. You just missed out on that $5,000 that you could have put into the Roth IRA. So the right way to do it is to roll over the entire amount, the entire $20,000 from your traditional IRA to the Roth IRA and pay the taxes from outside of that. That way you get the full $5,000 or $20,000 Roth IRA conversion, and you're not just rolling over $15,000 into the Roth, you're rolling the entire $20,000 into the Roth IRA and paying taxes from outside of the IRA. That makes a lot of sense to do it that way. You get the full benefit of the Roth conversion. I think those are good ones. Those are just common mistakes that people are making on a regular basis. Trying to roll over your RMD, trying to contribute to an IRA for a kid with no income. Take two IRA distributions in 1 year and try to roll them both over. You can't do it. And the last one is paying taxes on a Roth conversion. Don't do it.
But these mistakes could be costly.
I should clarify that. You have to pay taxes on, but make sure you roll over the entire amount over into the Roth IRA. I said, you don't pay taxes. You have to pay taxes.
Oh yeah, you can. And speaking of taxes, it's much like if you make a mistake on taxes, could be very costly, especially if you are audited, Jeff. And all of these things can add up. You don't want to make mistakes. And again, this is where working with a financial planner comes into play. At the Cowal Investment Group, that is what they specialize in, and that is retirement. Jeff, a lot going on. I want to tell our listeners at the very end of the show today, there are some free events coming up. It does require you to reserve a spot. They are heavily attended. A lot of people attend these. That information at the end, please don't tune us out. And coming up next, it's the weekly Wealth Management and Preservation segment with Jeff Cowal, the founder of the Cowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist. I'm Paul Kronforst, the Retirement Clinic, back after this on WISN. It's that time when you hear the bare naked ladies, if I had $1 million. We call this the Wealth Management and Preservation. Jeff Cowal is here. The Retirement Clinic continues on WISN. Jeff, you obtain, let's just say, in your lifetime, let's pick $1 million. All right, I got $1 million in my retirement plan. Now it's about preserving that wealth, or one step further, actually maybe adding to that wealth, Jeff.
That's what this segment is about. It's if you have this show is for everybody. This particular segment is for those with $1 million or more. Once you've accumulated some wealth, how do you preserve it, grow it, take income from it, and pass it on to your heirs? And when you look at having $1 million, that includes your 401ks, your IRAs, your homes, any insurance that you might have, life insurance, any other investments, second home, inheritance, other things. So all those things go into your estate. And how do you preserve it, grow it, take income from it, and pass it on to your heirs? Talking about passing it on to your heirs and paying taxes. This is a Wall Street Journal article that says, how to avoid paying higher taxes when your spouse dies. It's called a survivor trap because the survivor trap taxes often spike when the spouse transitions to filing as a single taxpayer. This one gets people, and it's sad because it's, you know, spouses lose a loved one. They're blindsided when they discover that they have to pay higher taxes. And that situation is known as a survivor trap. You can mitigate it a little bit. The survivor trap arises in the years after a spouse dies, because you're filing as a joint, and then when your spouse dies, you have to file as a single, so the tax brackets are different. The surviving spouse transitions to filing as a single taxpayer and often has a higher tax bill, even if the income remains the same. The reality is to hit especially hard during retirement when annual withdrawals, known as required minimum distributions, enter the picture, because not only do you have low, different tax brackets, but you have, a lot of times you have to take the same amount of income. So there are some things that you can do. The surviving partner can do a couple of things. One is taxable accounts and Roth conversions. We advise couples to position certain investments before retirement to increase their flexibility. So when one spouse dies, you don't have to take it all from retirement plans if you need regular income. You could take some from Roth IRAs if needed. We like to preserve those to the end. But also from taxable accounts. One way to do this is to make sure you do have some investments in taxable accounts that aren't subject to required minimum distribution. Another strategy is to convert traditional IRAs to Roth IRAs. We talk about this all the time. We talked about this just this last week with several of our clients. Or one of the ways to reduce your required minimum distributions, now it's at age 73, is to do Roth conversions prior to that, because Roth IRAs are not subject to required minimum distributions. Traditional IRAs are. So if you convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, you reduce your RMDs later on, especially the surviving spouse has to take RMDs. It's a way to reduce the taxes for that surviving spouse. Charitable contributions, another move is to consider contributing more to charity. So you're able to itemize expenses, bump up deductions. Another one is what we do on a regular basis for our clients, and they really appreciate this, is to harvest capital losses to offset capital gains. So we always act as fiduciaries. We always put our clients' interests first. We address the taxes. We address the estate planning. We address long-term care. We address end-of-life issues. But one of the things we do is harvest capital gains. Investors who have capital gains from selling securities or who own mutual funds can distribute capital gains. They can also use capital loss harvesting within that. So if you have capital losses, they can be direct offsets against capital gains. So harvesting capital loss is very important. Another one is little known, and this is for somebody who has an advantage, a big age disparity. So if you have somebody who is 80, a husband that's 80 and a wife that's 60, may have been the second marriage. You never know. Yeah. But if there's a difference in age, there may be some tax benefits for the younger surviving spouse. So it is pretty complicated. There are a number of things that you could do, but it is a tax trap. A lot of people don't realize one thing that we do is if somebody dies in a spouse dies in one particular year, we try to encourage our surviving spouse to consider doing a Roth conversion that year, because that year of death, you still have can file as joint. You can file a joint return as a spouse. You're not a single pet taxpayer at that point. So we always try to encourage our clients to do that.
As always, this segment, good stuff, Jeff. Different every week with an emphasis on your preservation and, of course, wealth management. And like I said, preserving that wealth. Jeff Kowal is here when we come back. Jeff, you are going to highlight some events coming up. These are well attended. They're coming up in April. You've got to sign up, though. TheKowalWay.com is a good start. But Jeff will give you those details when we come back. Every Saturday at 10 o'clock, The Retirement Clinic is on News Talk 1130 WISN. Back with Jeff Kowal. And Jeff, at the end of the show, we said we'd highlight some events. We started out the show talking about a couple in April. These are, and this is maybe a sign of how intelligent our audience is here at WISN. They're very well attended. They are complimentary, but you must reserve your spot.
It is great to see people in person again, too. We were doing a lot of video conferences, things like that, and workshops. It's nice to see people in person. There are two events coming up in April. First is Friday, April 19th at our Racine office. It's an estate planning event with Aaron Spitzner and attorney James Pruitt. Again, Spitz will be there. It's a great presentation. Fills up quickly, so better get on board with that one. Second event is Keep Family Wealth in the Family. That's Thursday, April 25th in Delafield. That's in Lake Country. And I will be moderating that event and joined by Chauncey Wisenshell from our office and our trusted partners, Chris Behrens from Horicon Bank and John Koenig. He's an attorney from Elder Law Advisors. We've done this event with them in the past, very well received. Seminar is designed to help you gain a better understanding of how to preserve and protect your hard-earned assets for you and your family. These are both, especially if you have $1 million or more, especially geared towards you and be especially meaningful. So join us for those events. That's Friday, April 19th in our Racine office, and then Thursday, April 25th in Delafield.
Remember that Brookfield location is open. Jeff, you're on Blue Mountain Road in Brookfield. That opened up a few weeks ago. On Facebook, I saw pictures. It looks beautiful.
We're very proud of it. It's a really nice space. Come on and visit us. It's 175th and Blue Mountain, west of Calhoun Road on Blue Mountain. And for more details on the events, register online at the events page at thekowalway.com or give our office a call at 262-522-4040.
As always, the founder of the Kowal Investment Group, the retirement specialist, hosting the show today, Jeff Kowal. Thank you so much, Jeff. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Paul. You too.
And to our listeners, every Saturday, 10 o'clock, don't miss it. The Retirement Clinic will be back next week. I'm taking a short break. News is up next on WISN Milwaukee.